Get into the last book of the Old Testament, the last two verses. It is in Malachi, the verse 5 and 6. Malachi, the chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 is this way. Behold, I will send you Eli, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and strike the earth with curse. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the great gift of salvation. And thank you, God, that you give us such a great gift as a family that we may enjoy. And we pray today, especially God, for fathers and sons, that you may work in their lives. We give you the glory and the honor. Amen. You know, we the preachers many times have a problem when God really press us on with some part of the scripture. I never heard a sermon on this passage. One time only, those who remember Dobson, he was mentioning this passage. And I was dwelling for quite a bit, and many times just putting aside, and God was just pressing me on. And I get back. And I was thinking about where is the problem and what is going on. That the Bible is telling us so clear that Eli will come and will turn the hearts of the fathers to the son. And the hearts of the son to the fathers. And the Jewish home been waiting for Eli to come. Every time, or when they had a dinner, there was a chair, empty chair, around the table for Eli. They were expecting that Eli will come. Not only will do the work to turn the hearts of the fathers to the son, or the hearts of the sons to the father, but Eli will prepare the way for the Messiah. The Messiah will work, he will do the work in our homes that have to be done. And I, as a preacher for many years being in the ministry, I found homes that I've been seeing the fathers been turned away from the sons and the sons from the fathers. I remember one time I've been called just to the home because I have to talk with some boys, well, it was three boys, and they were really getting involved with the gangs, and the father and the mother were so alarmed. They calling me, and I went to the home, and then I went to the boys' room where they were. And you know how the boys are. You grew up, you had boys. They lay on the beds, and I came and sat down on the floor and talked to them. the answer that I get from them, they say, Pastor, why? I could talk to you so nicely, but I never could talk to my dad or to my mom. That's what is the problem, the communication. Always been so hard because the father and his pride many times was demanding his right. I remember a father came to me one time. He says, I am a dad. Where is my honor? You know what I told him? I say, you lost your honor. And you know what? You have to earn it. You cannot impose. You have to earn your honor. If you really are a dad, be one. Love your kids. Doesn't matter where they are. It's still your son. It's still your daughter. And I want to tell you, we as a Christians, we have the greatest tools that God has given us. The Word of God. And Roland was telling us about the second tool, is the prayer. The prayer will move mountains, will move hearts to reconciliation. The prayer will bring together those hearts. Doesn't matter where they are. God is at work. And beyond all this. And that's why the Jewish people, the Jewish home was not, absolutely was not different than ours. They had the same problem that we do. They had the same problem. They had the same kids. But you know what? The Jewish father many times was, quite many times we see the Jewish family or the Jewish sons are more smarter than ours. You know why? Because the father will come around when they sit around the table and will put the hands upon the head of the child and pray over them, asking divine blessing. They believe that there is a divine blessing. Doesn't matter that they don't believe in Christ, but they still believe that there is divine blessing. And that divine blessings have to rest on my family. Because of that divine blessing will give us the grace and the strength to them. From the days of Adam to our days, you know, the plague that been plagued, it's not coronavirus, but the sin. We know that coronavirus is deadly, but I want to tell you, sin is more deadly. One sin could take you to hell. Maybe if you're going to get a coronavirus, you could survive. But if you will not get rid of that sin, you are in trouble. And that's why the Bible tells us so clearly that since the day of Adam to our days, we are permeated with the same problem. And going from the book of Malachi, let's go to see what happens in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we see Eve here. She brings the first son, and her expression really caught my attention. The Bible says over here in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1 says, and now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. her expression, she says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. You know what? I really believe that Eve thought that she gave a birth for a Savior that has been promised in the chapter 3. When she didn't know that she gave a birth for the first murderer. What a terrible thing, isn't it? She didn't know that she gave a birth for the first murderer. And if we go to chapter 5, I wanted to, actually, chapter 4, let's begin with the verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, again, and she bore a son, and the name was Seth, for God has appointed and another seed for me. Instead of Abel, the one who Cain killed. And look at the verse 26 says, and as for Seth, to him also the son was born, and he named his name Enoch. And then the men begin to call on the name of the Lord. You can imagine since the day that Adam was chased out from the garden, they were not calling on God. Approximately 250 years was a silent. God and Adam been back to back, living till Enoch was born, when they begin to call on God. And that's when we begin to see the genealogy of Adam. The genealogy of Cain, we do not see it. The genealogy of Adam, and if we go farther into chapter 5, look into chapter 5, the verse 3 says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son, and his own likeness after his own image, and the name of him was Seth. I wanted you to pay attention that your son is just like you. Absolutely, it's not worse than you. Even if you think that he's worse than me, the way that he's acting, he's just like you. And every detail, that's what the Bible says. And that's why I am calling on you today. You know, it doesn't matter who he is. Just love him and accept him, because he's just like you. Just everything that he have in his character, the way that he's walking, the way that he's acting, is totally like you, completely. We all went through that, don't we? I remember when our daughter was born, she was the first one that came to the family. We just enjoy her. She was just almost perfect. But when the son came, Danny, even in the grammar school, we were talking, both of us, what are we going to do when he's going to grow up? And believe me, he was the one who really gave us a hard time in our lives. But you know what? You know what the Bible is teaching us so clearly, is we train up the child in the way that he should go. That's the point. And then the last part of that verse says, even when he departed, what's going to happen? He will come back. the time to sow the seed in the right seed, you must sow it now. The Bible says so clearly in Galatians chapter 4, he says, God is not muck. What the man sows, he what's going to happen? He will reap also. I will urge you, begin to sow good seed in the hearts of your children. God, with God's help, God going to lead you from one point or another and give you the victory and give you the knowledge how to deal further. Don't give it up even if it's hard. Don't make any excuses. Just use your word. One time, the media interviewed Billy Graham because he was traveling all over the world, and he says, "And who's taking care of your family?" And Billy Graham answers, he says, "My wife is there." "Well, how's she doing?" "Well, she's training the kids. In one hand, she has the Bible, and the other hand, she has the rod. Trying to pull everything together." And you know what? Even in Billy Graham's family, there was somebody who was not walking according to the way of God. And Frank was one of them. He was that son that walked away. But you know what? Under due time, God, what happened? Brought Frank back. And look at what great man today Frank is, proclaiming the truth of God. You never know who will be your child in the days ahead. You must invest your life in him as much as you can. This is the time to sow the good seed. Because God is not mocked. The man, the weight that he's sowing and what he's sowing, the weight that you're investing in your child, that's the weight that you're going to reap. The Bible's telling us so clearly. David exclaims in the Psalm 51, what is, tells us what is the problem. Psalm 51 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me." Sin begins, and the training begins from the crib. Don't wait that the child may be grown up. Many times it's too late. I remember when our youngest son was living in San Francisco area, and one time he called us and says, "You know what? We want to bring our daughter that you may take care of when my wife, when I and my wife will spend some time in Lake Tahoe." And they came, they brought 3 years old. My wife was happy, I was happy, and we just enjoy her. But 3 years old, many times, have a tender temper, isn't it? And I remember she had a tablet that the parents, you know, bought, and she was into it with her earphones and listening to the music. And I came closer to her and said, "Sissy, don't you think that there is some evil in it, what you're listening?" And you know what? She put right away back. And then she confessed to my wife, "Yep, there was some evil." 3 years old. 3 years old. Today she's almost 6 years old. And one time, just the parents commented and say, well, you know what? I could get okay with grandma. But with grandpa, I have to be very careful. They know, in that age, they know how much we could invest it. And I am so glad. Today, my wife, she's taking care of one family. Next week, she goes and will be taking care to that other family. And you know what? She's investing her life now, teaching them the Word of God. And even Jamie, who's 2 years and a half, he comes to her and says, Grandma, could you sing Jesus Loves Me? Jesus Loves Me. He knows that there is somebody, not only the parents, but there is God that loves him. Their soul is witnessing that there is a creator, there is somebody. Why not take advantage and begin to invest as much as I can in the life of the child? I remember when our kids been growing up, our daughter that I was telling you about, we used to live in the mission home in Chicago. And somebody sent, you know, in that time was very popular to buy life insurance. Somebody who bought recommended us. And that salesman knocked at the door. Sure, he came and we welcomed him to the living room. And he comes. And it was quite late. After 8 o'clock, was at night. And when he was just with all his papers on the table over there telling us the good thing about the life insurance and why you need it. And that time, our daughter, my Bible was just bigger than this one. And she comes to the Bible and puts right on my lap because she knew. She was tired. She wanted to go to sleep. That I will be reading the Bible for her. And it's time to go. And he looks at me and he looks on her. And finally he picked up all his paper, put in the briefcase, and left. They know. If we are teaching them the right way and the time when they have to be sowing the good seed. That's what is it going to happen. And not only this, you know what? God is interested not only to save you, but God is interested to save your family and your kids and your grandkids. Let's go to the book of Acts. We'll find something else there. In the book of Acts, we find Paul and Silas in Philippi. Just Lydia opened her house, was saved, and they begin to having those great meetings there. And the church begin to start. He was planting a church in Philippi. And what happened? There was a girl, slave girl, that was proclaiming them who they are. And the Bible says clearly that the girl was telling that those are the servants of God. They are proclaiming the truth of God. And the Bible says so clearly that Paul was kind of indignant. And he cast the demon out. And the verse 17 says, this girl followed Paul and us and crying out, saying, those men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she was doing every day. But Paul greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. And the spirit came out in the same hour. The verse 19 says, but when her master saw that their hope and prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them to the magistrates. And the Bible says that they bit them with rods. And then they gave to the jailer, and he put them in inner jail. And he put his name in stock, and at midnight something happened. They begin, instead being sorry for themselves, they begin to praise God. In pain and suffering, they begin to praise God and allowing that the power of the Holy Spirit may work through. And then the Bible says that the jailers hear their songs. And something happened. And that same time, the Bible says that there was a big earthquake. And the doors of the jail was open. And the jailer wake up and tried to kill himself. And Paul screams aloud and says, do not do any harm to yourself. We're all here. And then he asked for light and came in and fall before Paul and says, sir, what I can do to be saved. And the first thing that Paul says, you will be saved, and who more? Your whole house. God is concerned about your whole house. Your children and your grandchildren, and then the more descendants that will come. And then the greatest thing that happened when he accepted the Lord, and look at the verse 34, says, now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. He believed God, and the whole household's been saved. God is concerned, even not only for your whole house, but your neighbors, even for the whole world. And that's why he made us light where we are, that we may irradiate Christ. But you know what? Begin to do this in your home first, because your family wants to see Christ in you. And your way of living will speak louder than your words. Oh, I remember one time somebody came to me and says, Pastor, I was sending my kids to the church. And look where they are now. I say, where you been? Oh, I have to go to work to support my family. And that's what happened. When you are not taking care of your family, you don't put your family in the right first place and right perspective, you will have a problem. You know what? I really believe that God, after the salvation, the greatest gift that God gave us is the salvation of our soul. But secondly, it's our family. It's our family. It's your kids and your grandkids. Let's enjoy them. But to enjoy them, we must lead them in the right direction and the right path. You remember, we all memorize the Lord as my shepherd. There is two very important points. As he leads me beside the still water, And then said, he restored my soul. And then again, he says, he lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There is a path of righteousness that you and your children must walk. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to my Father but just by me. He is the one. We must always point on Jesus. And then Jesus warns us and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of the things, what happened? Could have shed, added to us, isn't it? What happened with us? Do we indeed seek the kingdom? Many times before that we seek the kingdom, we seek the things. And the problem is because we think that the things going to make us happy. The things will satisfy our family. The things will help us to maintain unity. Absolutely not. What we need in our home is Jesus to be the center and guide us, lead us, fill us, instruct us, the power of the Holy Spirit who would uphold us that we may walk in the proper way. And I was asking, where we fail. To know, we have to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. If you have your Bible, it's an Old Testament. In chapter 6, it's telling us how we should train up our children. Deuteronomy. Chapter 6 says, and the verse 4 begins, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And those words which I command you today shall be first in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk in your way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontless before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is what God commanded. God, right from the beginning, chose the training, not as a church, a house. And you know what? From good Christian house, we have good churches, don't we? Because this is the fruit. And you know, many times we're sending our kids to church that the church somehow may train them up. And we just put, we're taking ease and involved with something else that we love it. Sport, man. Or other things, we forget our responsibility that God is teaching us so clearly that we have to train up our kids. And says over here, first of all, he says that you may love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know what? I fail there. I fail right there. Many times I just pray and say, God, I love you. Give me more strength to love you. Teach me how to. love you more. And God is the one who's going to teach us. We're not loving God as we should. I remember reading one time about the missionaries that was way up in Africa. He was sitting outside, and those villagers came around him. He was crying. And they came and they were asking why. And he says, because I want to love God more yet. He was sold out to them. He said, I want to love God more yet. Only God could teach you and me how much we should love, because he loves us first. And he wanted to expect you as a child to love him. And Jesus says so clearly, he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my command. You're going to demonstrate. You're going to keep my commands. You're going to be in that book that is holy. You're going to share with somebody what God has done in your life. Because through you, God wanted to bless others. And through you, he made you a light for others. First of all, to your family, and then to those who are surrounding you. Look at farther. And he says, secondly, the verse 6, he says, and those words which I command to you today shall be first where? In my heart. Don't try it to pass it on unless it is in your heart. Don't try it to preach or speak to somebody else unless you live the life that you have to. I remember one time reading in the Daily Bread about a neighbor that was witnessing to his neighbor and inviting him to the church. And one time the neighbor was just getting met, and he says, you know what? Don't invite me to your church no more, because I see it that the church doesn't help you to be the person that you're supposed to be. Your neighbors know if you are indeed Christians or not. You're a light in that area. God puts you there, and you're responsible. How much more? In your own home, don't you love your kids? Don't you love your grandkids? You will spend more time on the knees praying and asking God divine blessings, and that God may help you to train up them in the way that they should go. God says, I am God. And I am teaching you, he says through Isaiah, I am teaching you in the way in which you should go. Oh, if you will pay attention to my laws, your peace will be like a river, and your truth like the wave of the sea. God knows if you and I, we know the Bible, we know the word. He knows how we live and where we live and what we do, because he's God. He's not a man. His presence all over in the same time. And look at the following verse. Verse 7 says, and teach them how diligently. The word diligently, constantly. Teach them diligently. To your children, those words that I gave you, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk with your kids outside, when you lie down. And then he says, and when you rise up. I have a little bit of problem over here with lie down. You know, it's not common in our days. we have a master bedroom way in the other corner of the house. Kids are far away from us. In those days, Jesus' days, they didn't have master bedrooms. They had one room. And they were laying down together. And thus, before that they fall asleep, the Father was still reciting them, who is God? Who is God? And then when get up, again he was telling them what God did it. 24/7, we have to speak about God to our children. Takes a while. You know, says to raise up a child, you need the whole village, the strength of the whole village, isn't it? And I will say you need the whole house to do together with your wife, with your parents, your grandparents, and instruct them. That's what God intended in the Old Testament. We have to pass on our faith to our, first of all, our kids, and our kids to their kids, and as the second and third generation going to hear about the great God that we love. May God help us to do the work as he commands us in his holy book and give us the strength day after day. First of all, love him. Secondly, I love God to work in me first. And then through me, reach others. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you. You love us so much. Thank you for who Jesus is in our life. Thank you, God, for giving us such a great book, the Bible. Help us to pass it on to the next generation about the great thing that God has done, first of all in our life, and then he is still doing today. We give you the glory and the honor now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Myself standing in the sun. Let's just stand together. Father, we thank you for what our dear brother Steve spoke to us. We can't imagine being in heaven if we don't know Christ. And so, Lord, thank you that you drew our hearts. We can respond to the truth, admit that we're sinners and that we need to be saved. Christ, thank you for all that you've done for us to go to the cross, that we might believe in you, put our faith and trust in you. And then, Lord, this message that Steve has preached applies to all of us, whether we have children, grandchildren, older children. It can only start when we love you first. And then we teach and model and love and live honestly and humbly before you and our families. Father, I pray that you'd urge each one of us to follow you in truth and humility, to train up our children in the way they should go. Father, thank you for these great truths and great promises. Together we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
body will be light when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before.
Yeah, missed out one day.